The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
Welcome back to the programme. Now we're moving, as they say, in all the best clichés, to something completely different. In the UK, the telly event so far of 2015 proved to be the adaptation of Wolf Hall, part one of which was shown last Wednesday night. And of course we had Charlie, was the show that had everybody talking on this side. And what unites Tudor England and of then and the 1980s Ireland, they're both historical dramas. So we're going to have a look at historical dramas on telly because there are more of them coming up and the Wolf Hall. Now, I just see I've been joined in studio by Miles Dongan and the casting director, Maureen Hughes, to talk about why they are so phenomenally successful. But I see, Miles, you read the books in the wrong order too.
Well, I haven't actually read Wolf Hall yet, believe it or not. I have it, but I haven't got around to reading it. I read Bring Up the Bodies first.
Well, I read Bring Up the Bodies. I read Bring Up the Bodies first, and I thought that was stupid. It wasn't that stupid.
All right.
It was fantastic.
Oh, no, it was a fabulous book.
To go back to Wolf Hall.
All right, okay.
And it kind of knit other things in together, so it's all ahead of
you. I look forward. And the interesting thing is, I think in Bring Up the Bodies, there's a lot of stuff that's also in Wolf Hall, so that you know that at the age of whatever it was, 12, 13, 14, 15, that his father kicked the you-know-what out of him and that he, you know, he headed off to Italy, etc.
Yeah.
So you find all that out in Bring Up the Bodies anyway.
Yeah, no, it's great. I have to say, I was absolutely addicted to it. I couldn't put it
down. She's a fabulous writer, and she's also a charming person. She's great crack. She's great fun.
Gosh, you wouldn't know fun from
she
that,
is
would you?
Great fun. She is so mischievous.
Anyway, will we have you take us into this? Why do you think, first of all, Maureen, before we go into any clips, why do we love history presented that way on television?
Not sure. I mean, it has everything. It has all the aspects of a small family drama. It's, you know, murder, corruption. It reminds us that what we're going through now is exactly the same as every other generation before us went through.
Yeah. You used the phrase yourself, actually, earlier in the programme. You said about something else, I can't remember what it was, you couldn't make it up. And that's the great thing about historical drama.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that happens, if it was in a piece of fiction, people would go, oh, for God's sake, don't be absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. That's a ludicrous coincidence. It could never actually happen. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about historical drama is it did.
Yeah. Right. We're going to start with Wolf Hall.
Yeah. Wolf Hall, we have a clip here where the Duke of Norfolk and I think is Bernard Hill, isn't it?
That's
Bernard
right,
Hill playing Duke of Norfolk, who was Yosser Hughes, which is about the same transition as Nidge made to Mara. So from Yosser Hughes to the Duke of Norfolk. Anyway, Bernard Hill telling the wonderful, wonderful Mark Rylance, why the hell does he not do more television and film?
Because it bores him.
Because it bores the hell out of him, I know. Fabulous, fabulous actor. He tells Cromwell that the king will not grant him an audience and warns him to tread very, very carefully indeed, that because of his association with the Archbishop, with the Cardinal, that he has not won Henry's favour yet.
Cromwell, I am content. You are a burgess in the Parliament.
My lord.
I spoke to the king for you, and he is also content. You will take his instructions in the Commons and mine.
Will they be the same, my lord?
God damn it. Cromwell, why are you such a person? It's not as if you can afford to be. Smile away. King will grant you an audience, but he is preparing a quarrel against you, master. Oh, yes. He has a long memory and well remembers when you were a burgess in a parliament before this and how you spoke against his war.
I hope he doesn't think still of invading France.
God damn you! What Englishman doesn't?
There you go.
Mark Rylance apparently is on record as saying that in order to research the character of Thomas Cromwell, that he watched Carry On Henry and that he watched the way Kenneth Williams... I'm not sure that we should necessarily take that.
I tell you, it's a lovely way to learn history, though, because we didn't do English history in great detail in school, and it sort of spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Like, who are the Norfolks and who are the this and why are they important?
I mean, the Tudor period is fascinating. Yeah. If you never do any other period of English history, you should try somewhere, some course where you can do the Tudors. They are just wonderful.
Maureen, what were your favourites going back?
My favourite TV dramas?
Yeah.
It's a bit more basic, I suppose. I don't have a huge fondness for the big period British dramas, the big kind of flouncy dresses, Downton Abbey type stuff. I need a bit more grit in the eye, I suppose. But I did grow up with Upstairs, Downstairs. That was probably my first, entry into kind of watching British drama. And I would have preferred the downstairs part of it.
Mm.
The drafty ballrooms with the girls in the corsets wouldn't have engaged me, whereas Mrs. Bridges and her team of reprobates downstairs, that's where I wanted to be,
right,
in the kitchens.
Okay. The one of the big ones here, of course, was Strumpet City.
Strumpet City was absolutely... I mean, another one which we might get a chance to talk about, which I thought was absolutely fantastic as a young boy. I was a nerd even at the age of 12, and that was Insurrection. But beyond that, when you move on then, it was the first really great drama, I think, that RTE did.
And it imprinted itself. Somebody like David Kelly's Rashers Tierney certainly imprinted itself in my casting DNA to watch a character that, like Rashers, that David, whom I didn't know at the time, I was a young teenager.
And he was so... I mean, David, in his accent... When you met David, he was fierce posh.
Oh, yeah.
He was about as far away from Rashers Tierney as he could.
He's the equivalent of casting Tom Von Lawler, isn't he?
Yes, you absolutely. Know,
well, that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're responsible for that.
But you cast that great actor, as was David Kelly. I mean,
congratulations, by the way, in seeing Tom Von Lawler as Nidge and as Mara, because he was just unbelievable. You would unrecognise it. And I suspect also that one person who would not be complaining about Charlie is PJ Mara, because I think he would love the characterisation of the portrayal that Tom Von Lawler did of him in Charlie.
Well, now, you were talking about Rashers. Yes. And we're going to use a little clip.
Yeah, a clip of Rashers receiving a caller towards the end of Strumpet City.
Who's that?
Rashers.
What?
Are you there?
No, I'm off down the quays. Am I here? Where the hell do you think I am?
What are you lying down for?
I'm not lying down. I'm in my bed. Oh, the old chest is at me, and my leg is giving me lackery. Come into the light. What are you in fancy dress for?
I was given them from a house in Nutty Lane. A bereaved woman that has no use for them. I thought to put them on to mark the occasion.
What occasion?
That's what I've come to tell you. They've released Larkin.
Good
luck, I tell you, they have. Be ordered the Viceroy himself.
I mean, the interesting thing I think about Strumpet City is that it was, seven episodes?
Seven episodes.
And that was the beauty of it, because it's a big novel, Jim Plunkett's fantastic novel, and I think that's what it had over something like Charlie. I think if Charlie had been seven episodes, it would have been absolutely sublime. I really enjoyed it. It just wasn't long enough. No, it's far too much material.
Yeah,
I suppose that's one of the difficulties that you make an editorial one before you start. I presume it depends on finance and all of those kind of things. The next one we're going to go to, which is really down memory lane, was the Forsyte Saga.
Yeah, I said I was a nerd.
Remind people what it is.
Yeah, the Forsyte Saga, John Galsworthy, it's nine novels altogether, and they were put together in this long, long, long series. And it was I was about 12 or 13 years of age, and I was madly in love with Susan Hampshire. In those days, when you were a 13-year-old boy, all of the women you fancied were older than you, in some cases a lot older than you, more than twice your age in this case. But she was, she was fantastic. She played Flair Forsyte. But the original drama was basically between Soames Forsyte, Jolyon Forsyte, who were cousins and who were daggers drawn over Irene, and Irene was played by Nairi Dawn Porter. She was married to Soames, and they divorced, and then she ends up marrying the cousin Jolyon. So this is young Jolyon narrating the opening of the Forsyte Saga.
In England today, there is no more charming and instructive sight than an upper middle class family in full plumage. This particular family is called Forsyte, and they live in Park Lane, Indeed, all the Forsytes live around the park. It's fashionable and convenient, and property values there continue to rise steadily. Yet although each Forsyte is impressive enough singly, their true flavour can only be appreciated on the occasions when they gather together at one or other of their well-appointed houses. No branch of the Forsytes has a genuine liking for any other, but as a group, they possess that mysterious concrete tenacity which renders a family so formidable a unit of society.
Yeah, it got much more interesting after that.
The only thing about it is the voice comes back.
Yes,
you know,
it does. Kenneth Moore, the wonderful, wonderful Kenneth Moore, plays this wonderfully avuncular character of Julian Forsythe, and Eric Porter plays the heel, the really nasty, the nasty Soames.
That's right, magnificent.
As
beautifully done. It was addictive. Maureen, your next one you have is Into the Storm.
Well, yeah, partially because this was so exciting for me to see an Irish actor chosen to play Winston Churchill, given the amount of British acting talent there is, that Brendan
Gleeson...
Remind
people what it is.
Brendan Gleeson played Winston Churchill in a biopic of his life, and the production took 14 nominations in the Emmys, and Brendan won Best Leading
Actor.
Probably
the first time Timothy West did not play Winston Churchill
exactly.
in a drama.
How exciting was it to see an Irishman play one of Britain's greatest leaders?
Yeah. Mm. You work in this area. It's a very complex area, picking out somebody to be somebody.
Yeah, it was directed by Thaddeus O'Sullivan, who possibly had a relationship with Brendan and would have known his talent very well, and may have fought for him at the casting tables. I don't quite know if Brendan was the first idea to play this role, but my God, what a performance. And a performance that elevated, I might say, in terms of not looking at him just as an Irish actor, but probably one of the great actors of his time.
Yeah, that's great. And then lastly, we're going back to England again for The Pallisers. Victorian politics.
Sorry, this is another one of my Susan Hampshire things. I do apologise. I definitely had this thing when I was a teenager. Yes, The Pallisers is Anthony Trollope. It's a series of six novels, and the series, I think it was about 22 or 23 episodes of there. Unlike the Forsyte saga, this was in colour, so we're now into the 70s, 1974, I think it was actually broadcast.
So is it for the history? Is it for the drama?
It's for both.
Is it for the costume?
Yes.
Is it for the sets?
I mean, the history, this is fiction. It's not based on facts. Plantagenet Pallister was never the Prime Minister of Britain. But there is a lot of truth in the historical representation. So you can identify who were the Tories, who were the Liberals. You can perhaps even identify, certain individual politicians or what have you. And from an Irish point of view, it was very interesting because, of course, it was the launch of one of our great actors, the Brendan Gleeson of his generation, the fabulous Donald McCann as Phineas Finn.
That's
so he appears in a lot of these episodes as the kind of plausible Irish politician.
Okay, well, whatever their charm is, they are very charming to an awful lot of people. Now, before we go, I have to remind people another little bit of history at 6 o'clock this evening on The History Show on Radio 1.
Yes, we're talking about Zeppelins. We're talking about Zeppelins and aerial combat and other things.
Yes, it is indeed. So thank you, Maureen, and thank you, Miles. That's all we've time for today. Today's show was produced by Rachel Graham. Researchers Susan O'Loughlin, Elizabeth O'Neill and Owen Sweeney. Broadcasting coordinator Jarlath Holland. On sound, Cara O'Hare. Series producer is Anne Farrell. Back with you next Saturday, Sunday. Until then, a very good day to you.
The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's saving specialists. Rabo Direct, the straight-talking savings bank.